for rejoicing. There's been plenty of good news around. Welcome to Swiss Info's weekly news roundup. It's June the 18th and I'm Julia Slater. One story was definitely top of the list, although football fans may not agree. Swiss businessman Max Goldi arrived back in Switzerland early on the morning of June the 14th, after spending 4 months in a Tripoli jail, and a total of nearly 2 years in which he was unable to leave Libya. And if the long dispute with Libya, triggered by the brief detention of Hannibal Gaddafi, looks as if it might be ending, the very different quarrel with the United States over the UBS bank and suspected US tax dodgers also took the turn the government wanted. And the football news? Switzerland beat European champion Spain in their first game of the World Cup. I think it's fair to say that the victory was on the whole unexpected, not least because Switzerland have never, ever beaten Spain before.
This is a very emotional moment for me. I am tired, but very happy that at last I am back in Switzerland.
That was a remarkably composed Max Goldi speaking to journalists in Bern only a few hours after arriving home from Libya, where he'd been held against his will for nearly 2 years, the last 4 months of which were spent in a Tripoli jail. He finally left for home late on June the 13th, after Swiss Foreign Minister Micheline Calmy-Rey, her Spanish counterpart Miguel Ángel Moratinos, and Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi had held intense negotiations with Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi. Strange, you might think, that it took so many high-ranking Europeans to ensure his departure, seeing that the Libyans always maintained that Goldi was being punished for a purely legal matter, namely that he'd violated visa regulations. The relief was palpable in the voice of Calmy-Rey when French-language radio asked her how she felt.
Great relief, because we got to the end of a very difficult time when Switzerland had two hostages in Libya. The second of them has finally returned home to his family. We've known moments of great stress, moments of great hope, and then everything went back to the beginning again. It was very, very difficult. We managed to protect our citizens. We really put all our efforts, all our resources into getting Max Goldi and Rashid Hamdani out.
Goldi's ordeal started in July 2008, when Muammar Gaddafi's son, Hannibal, was arrested in Geneva along with his wife, suspected of mistreating two of their servants, a Tunisian and a Moroccan. Although the servants later withdrew their accusations after receiving compensation, Libya reacted with a range of measures against Switzerland, including the detention of Goldi and another Swiss businessman, Rashid Hamdani. The ins and outs of the story are quite complicated, and there seems to be a new development practically every day. You can catch up on the details on our website, swissinfo.ch. And how it will all pan out in the end is still not clear, but you can be sure we'll be keeping you informed. Calmy-Rey told journalists that uncertainty had reigned until the last minute before Goldi was finally allowed to leave Libya. And much the same could be said of the Switzerland-Spain World Cup match on June the 16th. I can't say I'm much of a football fan myself, but even I was on the edge of my seat at moments during the game. It was certainly exciting in the sense that once the Swiss had scored, hope kept mounting that the impossible could happen. But that's not necessarily the same thing as playing exciting football. Swiss Info's Matt Allen knows rather more about these things. So I asked him whether it had actually been a good match.
Well, yeah, I think it was. It was very tense, although it was only 1-0. There was an awful lot of action. I mean, Spain were doing all the attacking. I think they reined in about 22 shots on the Swiss goal, but failed to hit the target on each occasion. And Swiss defended manfully and nicked the winner, despite getting only six shots at the Spanish goal. But certainly for the Swiss, and when I was watching the game, there was so much tension, we were biting our fingernails. So I did think it was a good game.
Because the Swiss have got a reputation for playing rather boring football.
Well, yeah, that's just because they don't have the players to play anything other, unfortunately. I mean, they just don't have the creative-type players. They've just got to play to the style that that their players can, and they did all that they could. They're very organised, they're very efficient, they work for one another, they know what each one has to do. And really, they just got everyone behind the ball, and it was the defenders and the goalkeeper who showed the sparkling form. But, yeah, that's Switzerland, and you can only play with what you got with. Spain are a fantastic attacking side, and they should have goals written all over them. I mean, before the game, I was predicting 3-4-0 to Spain because they've just got so much talent. But it just wasn't their day. I mean, a lot of people are complaining about the match ball down in the World Cup, saying it's not the same as the one they use in their domestic tournaments. Maybe Spain just couldn't handle that. But whatever it was, Switzerland had a bit of luck, and, well, long may it continue.
And the Spanish actually also had a lot of bad luck, didn't they? I'm thinking of that nail-biting missed goal that hit the crossbar and bounced back.
Well, these are the things that happen in football. There was that, and on another day that would have gone in. On another day, the Swiss goalkeeper, Benaglia, wouldn't have been so good. Maybe one or two of the shots would have been a bit more accurate. But that's the exciting thing about these tournaments. We're not in the knockout stages yet, so one bad result for Spain isn't fatal. But you do get these nice little exciting games where the underdog wins, and maybe there is a bit of luck involved. But let's credit Switzerland for playing to their game and doing very well.
That was Matt Allen. Swiss fans poured into the streets and celebrated for hours afterwards. The Swiss government might have felt like doing the same thing the next day, after a nail-biting vote in Parliament, which finally approved last year's controversial deal with the US, allowing confidential client data from the UBS bank to be passed on to the US tax authorities. It was touch and go. The accord was supported all along by the centre-right parties, who are traditionally close to business circles, but initially opposed by both the Social Democrats on the left and the People's Party on the right. In the end, although the People's Party still described the deal as illegal, its members abstained in the vote in the House of Representatives on the 17th. Justice Minister Evelyn Widmer-Schlumpf called the vote a victory for moderate political forces and a good sign for the future. Swiss press comment was mixed. The Neue Zürcher Zeitung, for example, said reason has prevailed after all, while La Liberté of Fribourg said Switzerland had demonstrated its spinelessness. You're listening to Swiss Info. Now, did you know that Barack Obama has Swiss blood? Not a lot, it's true, but it seems that one branch of his maternal ancestors came from the village of Ried bei Kerzers, about 20 minutes' drive west of the Swiss capital Bern. Jessica Dacey went to investigate, and she started by telling me what Obama's ancestral home is like today.
Well, Ried bei Kerzers is a small farming village. It's very much agricultural still today. That's been the tradition for a long time. And you have these beautiful, long-sloping farmhouses with immaculate gardens. But it's a very tiny village, about 1,000 residents.
And what are people there saying about this rather surprising news?
It's common knowledge now at the moment. A lot of people are talking about it. Some believe it, some don't. One person I spoke to said he was very proud and to be associated with a president who has such an important role at this time.
Is there anybody in the village who claims to be a relative of Obama's ancestors?
There is a family who the archivist has traced his lineage down to. Actually, the youngest remaining descendant is a 12-year-old boy.
And are they doing anything about it? Are they going around proudly?
No, they're not, actually. It's all. Everyone seems to be taking it in their stride. And as the town council president spoke to me, he said, well, yes, we heard the news and then we went back to work the next day. We're not going to stop work for this.
But are they going to have any kind of celebration or name a street after Obama or anything like that?
There's talk of different things. Perhaps putting up a statue or something like that. But in fact, at the moment, the only plans the village has is next month, they're really going to take charge of this situation. They're holding a press conference and they're inviting all the Swiss media to come along and to really see the village and speak to the people associated in this whole search to find out who is really related to Obama.
I was speaking there to Jessica Dacey. This week saw the opening of the world's premier art fair, Art Basel, where more than 300 galleries from 37 countries are showing contemporary works by 2,500 artists, some of them very prestigious indeed. Even Picasso is represented, and topping the price list is said to be a $25 million sculpture by Swiss artist Alberto Giacometti. One might not think so from the weather at the moment, but it will soon be summer, and more people will be travelling. Switzerland has an excellent public transport system, but Susan Vogel-Masika has found a downside. Here's her blog, Too Cozy for Comfort.
In Switzerland, even the most ordinary city buses have plush upholstery. The posh post-outer seats are like sofas, And the newer Swiss Federal Railways wagons have plenty of padding, too. But all this comfort encourages some passengers to make themselves a little too much at home. You've probably seen them, those people, many of them old enough to know better, propping their feet on a train or bus seat, leaving a dirty or wet smear behind. Some take their shoes off, but let's be honest, how fresh is a moist stocking foot at the end of the day? Even worse, ill-smelling bare feet. But have you ever dared to say anything? I think most Swiss, including the conductors and bus drivers, are reluctant to rock the boat, or bus or train, whichever the case may be. But I'm not reluctant to. Come to think of it, my Swiss husband isn't either. One morning, he boarded a bus filled with students and gruffly commanded, "Feet down!" He still laughs when he remembers the sound of a dozen startled feet hitting the floor. Whether you're tough or gentle, when asking for a little decorum, it usually works. Some people sigh and roll their eyes, but I find that most people do oblige, especially if you offer a newspaper for them to tuck under their feet. Because fuddy-duddy that I am, even I like to put my feet up once in a while. But then there's the issue with the garbage. Newspapers and magazines don't count. These are a boon for anyone in need of entertainment, or maybe a foot mat. What I mean are bottles and cans, sandwich wrappers, used tissues, and other debris. Is it so difficult to use the rubbish bins provided? Worse yet, I once saw a respectable-looking teenage girl throwing her snack wrapper out of a bus window. Since I was sitting across from her, you can be sure I told her what I thought about that. Noise pollution is yet another problem. Those wearing headphones are probably going deaf and won't realize how loud their music is. But what about the folks who deliberately show off their DJ skills using devices without earbuds? My visiting sister and I encountered such a fellow on a train bound for Ticino. Poor sis was mortified when I decided to sing Moon River loudly and off-key in an effort to compete with the noise of the boombox. Well-mannered on my part? Not really, but it sure was fun. I guess nobody's perfect.
And she assures me it worked. That was Susan Vogel-Masika. Well, I don't think we have an off-key version of Moon River in our music library, so here's something quite different to go out on. I thought we'd celebrate Swiss-Spanish friendship. Thursday was Swiss night at Europe's biggest electronic music festival, the Sonar in Barcelona. Here are the Round Table Knights who appeared there, with Cut to the Top featuring Reverend Beatman. Thanks for listening, and you can always learn about what's going on in Switzerland on swissinfo.ch. I'm Julia Slater. The one day you're up, the other day you're down, and you're lost your pretty face on your shirt, cut to the top. Now you're stuck to me and I'm stuck to you, girl.